It's apropos. We listen to that. It's called Sticks and Stones, and we're going to be talking with Norman Otis Richmond. I believe Norman Otis Richmond is on the line. Are you there? Norman?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Good. I played your favorite musician, Ray Charles.
Oh, yeah. I probably can't go back to Los Angeles now. Some of the people in the Patrice Lumumba Coalition, they might lynch me because Ray Charles's manager, when they did that, they played for Reagan's inauguration, and they played. Reagan gave them, I think, $50,000 to do two songs, and they just had a cassette or just music behind them, the guy told my friend Ron Wilkins that for that kind of money we would have sang God Bless America for the Ku Klux Klan.
that's a real interesting cultural question. Now you're the one who pointed out to me that this movie, which seems so important, and I'm taking that because when you tell me it's important, I figure it's important. It's called Missing Figures, and Ray Charles features a lot in that, in their soundtrack. And there's no doubt that his voice and his sound during the time of the Civil Rights Movement, even though he wasn't in any way, shape, or form a member, that's what we were all listening to.
I can sing Ray Charles' songs backwards. Because
that might be a good idea.
My father bought all of Ray Charles' stuff, and I'm not joking. I know all of Ray Charles' music. That was a problem that we had when people begged him not to perform in South Africa because he was so popular among African people. I mean, they stopped in Algeria when they were fighting against the war was going on. The Algerians. When Ray Charles performed in France, the Algerians didn't do anything. They stopped bombing Paris because until Ray Charles left. I mean, that's how much.
Oh my gosh!
That's how much people loved him.
Well,
in Jamaica, there were people that got killed in the rain, and he said that he wouldn't go watch Jesus. His direct quote himself was, "I wouldn't go watch Jesus Christ in the rain." You know.
Well, you know, I mean, that just. I guess we're on it. We're going to get to this film, but that definitely one of the things that you and I and anybody thinks about it knows spirituals in many ways had nothing to do with the struggles. And many of the people who had churches didn't support the struggle. But the songs had such power that you can take the music and the words if you want and you can march and it does something for you. Whether Charles intended to or not, he lifted people up. And so tell me how. What's going on in this movie that that this much of Ray Charles is the backdrop? What made you decide this is a really important film, Missing Figures?
Well, I think, you know, like Max Roach used to always say that, you know, Walter Rodney pointed out that, you know, blacks in the U.S. have no power. They achieve prominence in a number of ways. They can sing, they can run, they can box, they can play baseball, but they have no power. So even in fields where they excel, they are straws in the hands of whites. And the entertainment world, the recording manufacturing business, sports as a commercial enterprise, and all controlled by whites. Blacks simply perform, which is true. But the point is that we as African people, we also can think. And I think that this film shows you how black people black women, basically, without them, you know, they were part of a very important part of the space program. But, you know, when I watch that film, I say, okay, this is the old colonizer versus the colonized. And we as a people, like all oppressed people, have been used by whoever colonized us. Like I was looking at the Vietnamese situation, and Malcolm X used to always talk about the Battle of Dien Bien Phu in 1954. The Vietnamese defeated the French, and on the front lines of that Battle of Dien Bien Phu, according to my good friend Samori Marksman, the late Samori Marksman, you know, the troops that were on the front lines were from Guinea, Mali, Senegal. They were the first people on the line. During the Ashanti Wars, in Ghana, it was a West Indian regiment that was sent there to fight against their own folks.
Mm-hmm.
And then this, when I saw this film, as brilliant as these women are and were, we were still being used by American imperialism and the colonizer. And the whole anti-communist thing was so strong at that particular time.
Yeah.
You know, because I remember we in America, you know about this, but I remember as a black person, we hated the Russians more than we hated the Ku Klux Klan.
Absolutely.
We had to get under the desk. You know, we had to test when
they're trying to kill us.
You know, get under the because you know the Russians are going to bomb, as if those little wooden desks are going to help you from an atomic bomb or hydrogen bomb or whatever they're going to drop on.
They muffle the sound of the incinerating explosion.
Yes.
What kind of things go on? I saw a 3-minute clip. I have to admit I was cribbing in that sense, but I was touched. I mean, there's some great moments that I saw just in the 3-minute thing indicating what's going to happen. Those white, including also a black military men, they could not get it through their heads that these black women were mathematicians who were solving the problems that had to be solved in order to get that, achieve liftoff.
Oh, yeah, and they, that's exactly, yeah, the without these women, there would have been, they wouldn't have got to, they couldn't have defeated the or couldn't compete with the Soviet Union. And, of course, they had to have the white hero. Mm-hmm. You know, the nice liberal a white guy.
Yeah. But there's always one in 100.
Yeah, but the actresses were superb. The story was superb. But like I'm saying, as a person that understands a little bit about colonialism. And you know, I guess it should be pointed out. I don't know for 2, maybe 3 weeks it was the top box office seller. So I mean, people are really buying it.
I like that. I'm glad to hear that.
And I think that it would be interesting to see how it's going to do overseas, because a lot of films that do well inside America and North America don't cut it internationally.
Yeah.
Because of colonialism and imperialism, people would rather watch Bollywood or Hollywood or Nollywood, Nigeria films or Indian films or other films. I mean, Hollywood does not dominate the international film industry like we think they do.
Yeah. Well, now I want to move to another matter here. Well, first of all, we have this issue of Black History Month. You are, of course, a writer and editor, and so you'd like to edit and improve the term. You'd like to make it African Liberation Month, right?
Well, there was a guy by the name of Abdullah Kalimant that talks about Black Liberation Month, and a group of us in Canada, we basically said African. Well, we want liberation as opposed to history. Because we know that during Black History Month, we're going to celebrate George Washington Carver, the peanut, and all that kind of stuff. Malcolm X was very hard on
that darn peanut. That's about
And George, Malcolm X
and black people invented the peanut. Yes, that's I remember that from grammar school. I don't think that's a big help.
No, but
and we were segregated, so.
But the point about we know about George Washington Carver, and we know about all the inventors, and we should know about the inventors. But we are saying liberation. We should know about the liberation struggles that we as African people had around the world. That's another thing about liberation history. We as African people, because of imperialism, are an international people. So we should know about Dessalines. We should know about Toussaint. We should know about Christophe. We should know about Ya Asantewaa in Ghana. who led the fight, the Ashanti Wars, mm-hmm. fought against the British. We should know about Queen Nzinga in Mozambique. Mm-hmm. We should know about Viola Desmond in Toronto. They're going to water, they're going to water her down and make her. She was not a classical revolutionary, but she did some very revolutionary things. And we should definitely remember her during African Liberation Month. And the corporate Canada has embraced her stamp, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But we still, as progressive people, we still should honor her in terms of African liberation. But African liberation basically is to basically TD Bank is not going to honor those folks. Oh, let me say something about TD Bank. I got an email from TD Bank publicist.
Sure. You want a loan? What are we talking about here?
Publicist, and they wanted to know who I was. And I think they had a press conference today, which I wasn't even invited to.
Listen, so that's a marked distinction.
I want to let the world know. I'm an old man now, so I can say what I want to say. And but I hope it was because I would still like to go. But
tell them you're a world regarded bluesologist, and if they don't know what that is, you don't want to come to their meeting anyhow.
Oh yeah, now I would like to go and just see what was happening. But I think the press conference was today. I never heard back from him, so I guess I don't know. Maybe. I wasn't qualified to come to the press conference.
Well, I've very rarely been invited to anything by a bank that I appreciate it. Otis, you have a special man that you want to talk about, and let's make this in our last minutes here. Sekou Toure. Why is Sekou Toure so large in your mind and that you want to call attention to?
Well, Sekou Toure was born in 1922, so he would have been 95 years old. But he was the president of Guinea. He led Guinea to independence, helped lead Guinea to independence. And when I was growing up, when I was a little fellow, I was always impressed by really a lot of people that really influenced me. There was Sekou Toure, Kwame Nkrumah, Modibo Keita of Mali, Patrice Lumumba of the Congo, and Ahmed Ben Bella, pardon me, of Algeria. Yes. And Sekou Toure was a person that led Guinea to independence, and he allowed black people from America to come to Guinea. One of the people that went to Guinea was people from SNCC. They were burned out. And at one point, Harry Belafonte had a very good relationship with Sekou Toure, so he brought a group of people to Guinea. One of them being Fannie Lou Hamer, who made famous the statement, "I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired."
Yeah.
And she went to Guinea and met Sekou Toure, and Sekou Toure basically singled her out. They say she was in the shower, and then they said they came and got her in Guinea and told her to get ready because the president was coming. And no, she said, yeah, you're right, And they say, no, come on, Fanny, this is no joke. This is serious. The president is here. So they waited for her, and she got ready. And the first person that Sekou Toure came up to was her. He honored her. Uh-huh. Sekou Toure took all those folks. Also, Sekou Toure, He let Amilcar Cabral from Guinea-Bissau, they had that as a base, the PAIGC. They were fighting against Portuguese colonialism. And the Portuguese invaded Guinea. I don't know what year it was, 70 in 71, 72. But Sekou Toure, they were coming up. They were trying to basically overthrow Sekou Toure, and they were trying to kill Amilcar Cabral. So this invasion was thwarted. The Guineans fought, and I think Kwame Toure took part in that battle. So they ran the Portuguese out in the you can everybody's got your Google. You can do a Google search, you know, what year it was. It was the early 70s. And, you know, Secretary Ray was, Harry Belafonte had a split with him over, they say he was hard on his opposition.
I'm surprised at that.
I'm looking at Belafonte's book, which is a marvelous book. In his memoir, he broke with Achmed Secretary,
Harry Belafonte has his own foreign policy.
Yes,
I was
interviewed by Radio Netherlands, and they were. I think it might still be on the internet, but they really had a fit over me because they said I was, Secretary Ray was a dictator and he should be forgotten, and he was a communist dupe, and bloom, 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 bloom. And
they said that about Nkrumah. They said it about Lumumba. People forget, you know, all this stuff now. Everybody, they're so sorry that they killed him. Yeah, but at the time there wasn't any nice words. They were all called communists, every last one of them, including Nelson Mandela.
All of them, yep. Everybody,
I don't understand. You know, we allow that kind of laundering to go on. We got to say, no, you're not going to bleach the truth. You guys, that's the line you played, and you were happy to kill them too.
Yeah, and they're making Vladimir Putin. You would think Vladimir Putin was Stalin, Hitler and Mussolini. I don't want to go on record of jumping on Joseph. You know, I leave Joseph alone. But Hitler and
but they don't. I said they don't. They call it, that label comes up everywhere.
Oh no! But in terms of anybody, you know, imperialism. How many countries surrounded the Soviet Union? 11 or?
Well, plenty. I'll go with 17, and we'll look it up. But plenty. They invaded them. Yes, yeah, so that's a long. That's one we have to get into. But Sekoturi, like Nkrumah, like Lumumba, was simply labeled. And by the way, people should be familiar. That's going on right now. If you don't toe the line, that you are going to have a little label put around your neck, and the Ministry of Truth is going to come looking for you.
Either you're a communist or you're a Muslim. Yeah.
Yes.
An Islamic. The late
president, that marvelous man, you know, Obama, he would use a drone and take you out, even if you're a U.S. citizen. And people say, gee, I miss him. Isn't that amazing? Otis, it's great talking to you. I'm going to go see that movie, Missing Figures, just on your word alone. That's good enough for me.
Hidden Figures, yeah.
Hidden Figures, pardon me, Missing Figures. There is a – boy, I hope I got that right. So it's Hidden Figures. Okay.
Yeah. And the star of the show, of the film, is Ms. Henson. She's the granddaughter of Johai Henson, the brother that went to the North Pole first. I guess.
Wow.
She's the star. Octavia Spencer and Janelle Monae. I think she's a great R&B singer, and it's definitely worth. I'm going to see it again.
Well, if you're going twice, I'm going to go at least once. Otis Richmond, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Norman Otis Richmond, bluesologist.